constantly.
Dusangadinasya.
Of a person poor in spiritual understanding. Sorry. Due to bad association.
Manaha.
The mind.
Shamam.
Peaceful.
Vyadhat.
Made. Because of his association with perfect, unalloyed devotees who had nothing to do with anything material, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet. By seeing his bodily features when he was in perfect ecstasy, persons very poor in spiritual understanding became purified. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj bestowed upon them transcendental bliss. Purport. Apparently, Prahlad Maharaj was placed in circumstances in which he was always tortured by his father. In such material conditions, one cannot have an undisturbed mind. But since bhakti is unconditional, ahaitukya pratihata, Prahlad Maharaj was never disturbed by the chastisements of Hiranyakashipu. On the contrary, the bodily symptoms of his ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead turned the minds of his friends, who had also been born in atheistic families. Instead of being disturbed by the torments of his father, Prahlad influenced these friends and cleansed their minds. A devotee is never contaminated by material conditions, but persons subjected to material conditions can become spiritually advanced and blissful upon seeing the behavior of a pure devotee. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shiataf Parakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parajana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakhan Vitamscha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The perfect devotee, Srila Prahlad Maharaj, is being described. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, a devotee is never contaminated by material conditions. So we can understand contextually that this refers to those devotees who are beyond material conditions, those who are pure devotees, because a devotee, one may be an aspiring devotee, he's also called a devotee, but an actual devotee is free from material conditions to the extent that even if tortured and threatened with death, it's not in the slightest bit disturbed. Not such an easy stage. Eh? In this verse, in the translation, Srila Prabhupada uses the word ecstasy and bliss. Particularly when we joined this movement, first of all, we used to hear these words, maybe more than nowadays, ecstasy, bliss, nectar. Maybe now we're considering that ecstasy, bliss, and nectar, it's not as easy to attain or to remain as we had thought. Srila Prabhupada made Krishna consciousness very much available to us. That which is Brahmara Duralabha Prem, that which is difficult to attain even for Lord Brahma, difficult even to imagine for Lord Brahma. He made it very easily. He made means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought the Kevala Ananda Kanda, the path which is simply blissful. There's just one little condition. Vishayacharya Shri Rashe Majiya. That rasa which is the source of all bliss, ecstasy, nectar, that is relishable by those who have completely given up sense gratification or even the thought of it. So Krishna consciousness is very easy. Chanting Hare Krishna is not difficult. But we find difficult giving up sense gratification. That is the reason why we don't experience the same, well, maybe you all are, but the ecstasy of Prahlad Maharaj, the ecstasy of all pure devotees, that is not a cheap ecstasy. That is on the platform of complete surrender to Krishna and concomitant, complete forgetting of Maya. Prahlad Maharaj, here it stated, because of his association with perfect unalloyed devotees who had nothing to do with anything material, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj, because of his association with devotees who had nothing to do with anything material, came also to that platform of having nothing to do with anything material. Now, who are those perfect unalloyed devotees? It certainly wasn't Hiranyakashipu. I mean, he was a perfect unalloyed devotee, but in that situation, the jai of the spiritual world had become intensely demoniac. Everyone is constitutionally, every jiva is constitutionally a servant of Krishna. But due to contamination, become inimical to Krishna. Due to accepting the asadgraha, this Prahlad Maharaj says, because of accepting that which is unreal, then we become contaminated. But Prahlad Maharaj, he is so associated with perfect unalloyed devotees, but we don't find that. Where are the perfect unalloyed devotees? We don't find in the description of Prahlad Maharaj's pastimes, and Hiranyakashipu and the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, Shanda, Amarka, they were surprised. Hiranyakashipu thought that Shanda and Amarka, they had a secret program to give Prahlad Maharaj wrong instruction from Hiranyakashipu's perspective. Wrong instruction. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. This is wrong instruction from Hiranyakashipu's vantage point. Vishanda and Amarka said, no, it's not us. And we don't know who it is who's instructing Prahlad. Who can that be? He's only in the palace. He doesn't go out. And we're all good demons around here. We don't know any devotees of Vishnu. We're all dyed in the wool, hardcore, fully committed to sense gratification. We hate Vishnu. We're all thoroughbred, aristocratic, high-class, committed demons with no thought of ever surrendering to Krishna, as Prahlad said, Matiena Krishne Paratasvatova. Our thoughts never go to Krishna. So how has this boy got this? Because of his association. He explained that to his classmates, that his association in the womb, when he was in the womb, he heard from Narad Muni. So how is it that it's stated that he was going on associating with pure devotees? Well, that's possible. For an advanced devotee, he can make the link with pure devotees even if he's not directly in the association of them, by always remembering their instructions, by always praying to them, Rupa Raghunatha Pade. What is that? Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Inanabraha. Rahu Mora Ash Pratana Koreshada Narotamodas. Narottam Das is always in the shelter of Rupa Raghunath Goswami's because he's always desiring their association. He always lives in their association. Even without personally being present with them. Whereas it's possible that someone can be in the association, physical association of a great devotee, but never actually have contact with them. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to one of his earliest disciples that you have never seen me. You have not been with me. He's had so many years of association. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would, on more than one occasion, he shocked people. There was one by telling them that you never saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's one instance that Nafa Chandrapal, I mentioned his name yesterday, after the departure of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he questioned complainingly to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said that, why are you so much against this Leela Kirtan, this public recital of the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna? Why are you so much against that? When Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he personally arranged for Leela Kirtan at the Jogpeeth in Mayapur on Gaur Purnima, and he arranged that. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said he never arranged any such thing. He said, well, I was there, I saw him listening to it, and you were there too. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you never saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur in your life. You know, what are you talking about? I spent so many years with him. He couldn't understand. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that you cannot see a pure devotee with your eyes made of flesh and skin. You cannot see a pure devotee like that. That is not the way to see. He said that even many persons, they consider themselves followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they may have even learned all his books and can recite them, rote, but they actually have no connection with him. That connection is by surrender and service, Atmasat, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself prays to his guru, Koromore Atashat. Atmasat means to be one, two, maybe two persons, but one in intention, one in purpose, one in soul, practically one soul, just like it's described, Srirupa Damodara Goswami. He was completely conversant with the mentality of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knew exactly what was in his mind at every moment. He was like another soul. He complemented Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this ta deva tata goro tasyaite katitahi artha prakashante mahatmana. One can study the Vedas upside down, inside out, back to front. There was one respected sadhu who passed away just a few years ago in India. He drilled his disciples in Bhagavad Gita. They could recite any chapter. You just tell them, recite. And even backwards, you tell them, you recite this chapter, then last shloka first and go to the first. So they knew the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita very well. But he was a Mayavadi, so what is the use? It's only lip learning. The real learning that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted in Sri Rangam, he saw the brahmana who had been told by his guru, you you study Bhagavad Gita. So he's doing, but he can't read very nicely and not coming out nicely. And everyone's laughing at him because the Brahmana, that means they're very qualified. They can recite at least one Veda, if not two or three or four. And this person can't even read, and they're laughing at him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that you are a real student of Bhagavad Gita, because he, even though he couldn't pronounce properly or read properly, that he was perceiving in his mind's eye how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is to be served by everyone out of affection to his devotee, Arjuna, has become Parthasarathi. He's become the servant of Arjuna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that Brahmana, and for the whole time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Sri Rangam, that Brahmana always stayed with him. He appreciated he was allowed to, and he appreciated what is the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whereas another devotee who is with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the time, what an opportunity, huh? To have the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu non-stop without anyone else, and he left it because he thought the association of some prostitutes was better. It's inconceivable, isn't it? Always this question comes up. Well, how did we fall from the spiritual world if we're pure and we're in love with Krishna? But it's inconceivable. Some say impossible, but Srila Prabhupada said it's inconceivable. But then you see this devotee, Kala Krishnadas. He was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally every moment. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I believe it was, or was it Bhakti Vinod, said that why he fell away in that situation. He was engaged in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was constantly with him, but he failed to take seriously hearing from him. So one may be present with the sadhu and serve him in so many ways, but unless one hears what he is speaking, then one doesn't, that communication, heart-to-heart communication, doesn't take place. It's not a matter of simply smiling. One smiles at the other. No, one has to hear. From the very beginning, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted this disciple, this Abhayda, they called him, that he likes to hear. He is worthy to be a disciple because he likes to hear. He noted that. So many places he was speaking constantly, hours and hours. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would speak in so many places, and some months after he had been speaking just to a small gathering of disciples, and this Abhay, our Srila Prabhupada, he came. And he sat and he listened and didn't say anything. And in his own words, he said, I couldn't understand what he was saying, but I sat and I listened. And then he left again. And you wouldn't think that, how would anyone remember? Just someone, so many people come to hear. They come and they go. And he just came one time and he sat and he listened. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he sat to speak, he generally wouldn't sit for less than 2 hours. That was the minimum. 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, all day. At one festival, he was speaking practically all day. Just there'd be a break for lunch, and then in the midday, there'd be a break, and then again, start again in the evening, and then go on till late at night. He was doing this day after day. So, Abhay, he sat and listened, and then some months later, when he was brought by the devotees of the Gaurya Math at Prayag, that he said, yes, I will accept him as a disciple. He likes to hear. So Prahlad, he had heard very nicely from Narad Muni, and he took the instructions of Narad Muni very seriously. And that's what he did, and became a pure devotee. It's as simple as that. If we hear, if one hears from a pure devotee and accepts the instruction as one's life and soul, then one also becomes a pure devotee. Then why don't we? What's going on that we don't do so? Because we maintain attachments to material desires, desires for sense gratification. And then the proper flow, the flow of mercy, the flow of pure devotional service is obstructed. We put a barrier. The pure devotees are ready to give their mercy, unlimited. And the only obstruction to that is our own refusal to accept it. If we do accept it, then ecstasy, bliss, nectar. And if we don't, then so many difficulties. But that conditioned souls, in most cases, it's just expected due to our conditioning, bad practice. Since time immemorial, it's expected that some gradual process is required. And therefore Rupa Goswami gave in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he described the process of purification, that it doesn't come immediately. Sadha kanam ayang prema pradur bhave bhavet kramaha. Krama means step. So gradually, one goes through stages. Prem is attained gradually through stages. Ado shraddha tatha sadhu sangha. Then bhajana kriya. First some faith. We have faith in everything except Krishna. We have faith. What faith? Ishvaraham aham bhogi siddho ham balavan sukhi. I don't need any God. I'm God. I'm the enjoyer. I'm perfect. I'm powerful. I'm happy. When we, by association with devotees, we begin to have faith that I'm the servant of Krishna and associate with devotees and have faith to follow their instructions to practice devotional service, then our actually auspicious life begins. There are many obstacles on the path, many forms of, or the contamination of not wanting to serve Krishna takes many shapes and forms, such as laziness in devotional service, attachment to sense gratification, wanting to show ourselves to be very great devotees, wanting to use the facilities afforded for devotional service for our own sense gratification, attachment to Mayavad philosophy. The aversion to Krishna can take many, many forms. But if one goes on hearing from devotees, then one can gradually advance on the path. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended this. He accepted this when Ramananda Rai rejected all forms of. Ramananda Rai offered various methods of sadhana and sadhu for methods for advancement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected. He even rejected Sarvadhaman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja, which is Krishna, Lord Krishna's final instruction in Bhagavad Gita. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected eho bhajya. This is external. This is not the essence. I think that was shocking to all of us when we first read that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that, and he said, go on hearing. Shutikatam tanuvang manobhir. Ye prayasho jitajitopi apitaistri lokyam. One can conquer Krishna. Never mind about surrendering to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this, that one can conquer Krishna if one simply goes on hearing about him, hearing about Krishna. How is that? Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Giving up one's the idea that I can learn by myself and becoming humble. These are all maybe not such easy things. Easy to talk about humility. Easy to talk about giving up sense gratification. Not so easy to do. Easy to talk about becoming free from contamination. But talking about it in the authorized way, that is the method that will help us to overcome. If we don't discuss, then we won't overcome these contaminations. That is required. The ecstasy that we all desire, that is the nature of the soul, to be ecstatic. We want to be happy. Every living being wants to be happy. Even the trees growing in the shade, they will try to grow toward the light. Because the nature of every living being is to seek happiness. So when we hear about the ecstasy of Prahlad Maharaj and great devotees, then naturally we feel, yes, I would like to be like that also. Or we see, just here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that persons subjected to material conditions can become spiritually advanced and blissful upon seeing the behavior of a pure devotee. By seeing pure devotees, then we may think, if we are fortunate, we'll think, I would like to be like that. When we see anyone who is superior to us in any way, we think, I would like to be like that. If our standard is sense gratification, then when a man sees a man who is bigger and stronger body than him, he may think, I would like to be strong like that. Or a woman sees a woman who is more beautiful than her, she may think, I would like to be like that. I'll make my hairstyle in the same way, wear my lipstick in the same way. But one who is fortunate, who is nivritta-tashaya, nivritta-trishna, whose thirst for material enjoyment is retired, has gone past that, then by seeing a devotee, he thinks, yeah, I'd like to be like that. I would like to be like this. So this, simply by seeing a devotee, one can become inspired. I would like to be like that. How to be like that? The devotees, they demonstrate by their behavior, by describing their satang prasangan mamavirya sangvido bhavanti hridkarana rasayana kataha. By hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees, it is very powerful to, as a rasayana, that's a tonic for the bad heart, the heart contaminated. The heart contaminated by the illusion that we can be happy in any other way than that of serving Krishna. And which kind of service? The pure devotees will describe. Here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes, as he's quoted so many times, ahaituki apratihata. Bhakti, we can do, we should do, all the processes, following rules and regulations, but the striving to be ahaituki apratihata, every moment engaged in the service of Krishna, without any personal motivation, again and again and again, we have to hear this so that we stay on course. Otherwise, We might be driving in a car. This is an example. We're driving in a car. The car is good. The road is good. There's enough gasoline in the car. But still, we have to keep our eyes on the road, keep our hands on the wheel. It may just go off, the wheel may just go out slightly. That's inevitable, because however smooth the road is, the car is going to, even if the road is straight, the car, unless we keep it, hold it on track, it's going to go off, even if imperceptibly. We have to constantly see, where are we heading? Are we going straight on the road, or we're going over to the other lane or off the side of the road? So this hearing, adjusting our consciousness, where are we going? What is our motive? Striving to overcome material desires, striving to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj and all the great devotees. That is a constant, daily, moment by moment endeavor. First we have to fix our goal. What do we want? Do we want to be like Prahlad Maharaj or Hiranyakashipu? We really want to be like Prahlad Maharaj? Sometimes it might seem easier to be like a more reasonable Hiranyakashipu. That we wouldn't be so nasty as him, but gold isn't so bad and soft beds aren't so bad either. So, you know, what's the harm? I can lie on my soft bed, count my money, and chant a little Hare Krishna also. But Prahlad Maharaj was ahaitukiha pratihata, all pure devotees. They deho sukachari, they're not interested in the comfort of their body. They don't think, first I have to make my body comfortable, my bank balance out of the red, I have to arrange this and arrange that, then I can do bhakti very nicely. Prahlad Maharaj is, of course, that's for most devotees, for most of us, that's, we require a little facility. Srila Prabhupada was very much aware of that. He arranged facilities so devotees could live, come together, chant Hare Krishna. But ultimately we have to be, if we are to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, we have to be taking shelter of Krishna in whatever conditions come. We don't know what condition. But now we're living very peacefully, nicely. Of course, it's a strain for everyone, even living in this reasonably nice climate and country atmosphere. Still, the modern life is such that everyone's in anxiety, how to get enough money and meet the bills. And modern life just creates so much anxiety, even in an atmosphere which should be nice. But we don't know what may happen in future. Our generation, our parents and grandparents, they, at least those from Europe, they lived through great wars. Who knows what turbulence, but here is hurricane country, right? So there's some disturbance. A hurricane everywhere, then everyone, at least devotees, they can become aware of the temporality of material life. But then again, you forget, I live in Gujarat, which is earthquake country. It's another frightening thing. And you're just doing what you're doing and all of a sudden everything starts shaking. And then the buildings may fall around all around you or on top of you. There was a major earthquake a few years ago. The word earthquake entered the Gujarati language. There's a word in Gujarati, bhukamp. They said, everyone started saying earthquake. And people were afraid to live in high-rise buildings and all the contracting business flopped. And then after a few years, people didn't even want to sleep inside houses. Even though it was cold at night, they were sleeping outside. After some time, they forgot, and life goes on. the tendency to forget. We forget again and again how much we've suffered and how much suffering is certain in this material world. It's good to hear. It's good to hear. Materialistic people, they'll watch the news and say, oh, terrible, so many people being killed. But if you tell them, well, you have to die also. Generally all over the world, in most cultures, to say something like that is considered taboo. That even if you go up to a 70-year-old man who looks in good health and tell him, you're going to die soon, you don't have much time to live, they'll think it's an insult. They're still trying to be young in America. They'll go jogging and this and that. But that is the fact. Even the young child, now we have the coolie mela. Well, they'll all be coming back after some years, those of them who don't die in between, for the old coolies mela, or the young. What happened? Huh? There's a fly on my head? All right, well, I hope it's not dead now. So this should be the motto for all of us. The two verses in Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna speaks. Labdva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavante manusha martadama nityam apiha dhira tur namyateta napatet anamritya yava nisrayasaya vishayakalu sarvata syat. This is a verse which we should say every time, every lecture to the public especially. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, I vow to speak this verse up till the end of my life, that having obtained this human form of life, which is very rare, is attained after many, many births, we should realize that it's, although temporary, it's very valuable. Therefore, before we drop down dead this time, which won't take long, we should do whatever is required so that we don't get born again. And, as a little afternote, if we're thinking, well, what about going to the bar, having parties, going on holiday in Florida, Orlando, Disneyland, what is it, Disney World? What about all the things we can enjoy? And Lord Krishna says, all right, there's plenty of opportunity. There's 8,400,000 births and you've already been through it. Now is the opportunity. And the other verse, even more pointed, Nideham adyam sulabam sudurlabam plavam sukalpo guru karnadaram. Mayanu. Mayanu kulyena nabhasvateritam puman bhavabdhim natarit sa'atmaha. One who comes to the point of accepting, got the human form of life, accepted a guru, human form, the human body is just like a very good boat, excellent, just the right boat for crossing over the otherwise uncrossable ocean of material existence. So having got the boat, we have a good captain, competent guru, favorable wind for blowing the boat, that's Lord Krishna's instructions in Shastra. So having all these advantages, if we still fail to cross the ocean, then we are simply killing ourselves. So these are, maybe we could make that the motto of the Kuli Mela. That you got the opportunity for all of us, for all of our lives. We got the opportunity, so don't commit suicide. Don't destroy our opportunity. This is the opportunity to go back to Godhead. If we don't, then we're simply, in Prabhupada's language, fool number one. Prahlad Maharaj, all the pure devotees, they give us the pure knowledge by which we can come to the platform of actual ecstasy. This is what Srila Prabhupada came to give us. we can take it. He lives by his instructions. We can still take advantage of that. We can still connect with Prabhupada, just like Prahlad Maharaj was connecting with Narad Muni, by his instructions. It's not just a matter of saying, Jai Prabhupada. We actually have to follow that. Hare Krishna, I'm over time. It's a short time given for class. Yeah, what's going on over there? Any question, please, comment? Yeah. Oh, I got a lot. All right, well, I saw this hand first. I'll take you. Yeah, here comes the mic. Oh, all right. Kalyapani Prabhu's got it. That's called...
Could you explain a bit more
might how... Might is right.
How... Could you explain a bit more how... giving up all considerations and just surrendering to Krishna can be external?
Giving up all considerations and simply surrendering to Krishna can never be external, so I can't explain that. Sorry, the answer to your question is no. Cannot explain. And no one else can explain either. Or if they do explain, it's a bogus explanation. Giving up all external considerations means not only external considerations, I am a member of British or American society, I am the son of such a person, but it also means taking the external layers off the heart. Everything except I am the servant of Krishna is an external consideration. Even to think, I'm a brahmachari, I'm a grihastha, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that as also as an external consideration. It means really coming to the essence. Therefore, again, hearing, studying Prabhupada's books, associating with pure devotees, praying for the mercy, all these elements are there of surrender. It's such a big project, isn't it, to become a fully pure devotee. Fortunately for us, the vital factor is the mercy of the pure devotees, and the pure devotees are very merciful. But we have to position ourselves to accept that. Yeah, some of these other questions? You're gonna, all right, give here, then it's more convenient. Pass on.
Hare Krishna, wonderful class. Every one of your sentences is a real transcendental gem. For those of us not on the platform of Prahlad Maharaj, who, though all surrounded by demons and even threatened by death, was able to remain always in the association of pure devotees. How is it possible for us Kali Yuga specimens, who are not pure devotees, who we might not be threatened by death, but we're surrounded by materialism and materialistic people?
Well, it might be a good idea to get surrounded by some dangerous demons. If you're a devotee, it's good for devotional service, actually. In Russia, the older devotees say that when we were being threatened with our lives, all the devotees were a lot more serious at that time. And then we got the opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness openly, and then all of a sudden everyone became complacent. So it's good to be in a dangerous situation. Frontline preaching is very good. Coming out and being bold to say that we're preaching and we're devotees of Krishna, and you should also be a devotee. And we may find that people are not as nice as we thought they were. As long as we're interacting with people that, my dear sir, you're a very good demon and I'm also... I go along with that. Then they'll be, yes, polite and nice, but they might feel threatened if we, just like Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, we don't want to unnecessarily antagonize people. Prabhupada often quoted the method of preaching, that you tell someone that, my dear sir, you are very nice, you're a first-class gentleman, and the person will say, yes, this person has understood me. He's recognized what a great person I am. So what do you want? Just give up all your nonsense hogwash and surrender at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, it's good to be in some difficulty. And preaching means that some difficulty will come. This book, The Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, it's not really a book, it's just a pamphlet. It's so, whew, it's really powerful. That's a good pamphlet to distribute and to read also. It's a real shake you up, shake you down, shake you inside out. There's a suggestion. Don't remain comfortable. It's not an easygoing life. Krishna consciousness shouldn't be an easygoing life. Traditionally, devotees voluntarily accept austerities to the level which we can't imagine. But if we don't do that, then it's good to accept the difficulty of preaching. And then that also doesn't, like I say, we don't have to unnecessarily antagonize people, but to make the effort to take some books, go door to door, participate in festivals, go out on Harinam, that will, this pushing movement, that by pushing ourselves to spread the mercy which we have received, then we get the mercy also. In day-to-day life, how to be Krishna conscious? Well, we have this morning program here. That's a great help. It makes a difference if we go or if we don't go, doesn't it? I mean, I generally go, but sometimes I'm traveling and then you can't have the morning program and you feel the difference. It's very helpful. We may think, oh, it's just the same. Every day, if we're tuned in a bit, then it's very blissful, actually. I mean, what better way to start the day than darshan of the deities, beautiful Gauravashtak prayers, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, anyone who rises, what was that? Shri Gauravashtakam etadu chai brahme mahurte patati prayatnad sa eva rindavana nata sakshat labhaiva. What is the last line? Anyone know? Labhaiva? I forgot the last line. And we're always forgetting the last line. Remember at Rupa Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, and we were reciting the verses and we were always forgetting the last line. Sevaiva labhya janashonta eva. That's it. That one who rises early and chants Gauravashtak loudly and carefully in the Brahma Muhurta, such a person, after giving up this body, attains direct service to Vrindavananath, Krishna in Vrindavan. I mean, that's enough to keep us enlivened, isn't it? Hope so. What great gifts we've been given. So, how to keep enlivened? Actually, if we consider what we've been given, then what's the question of? It's, what is it? It's just Maya, that we're not, if we're not enlivened. And therefore we have to hear about the glories of devotional service, then we will always remain enlivened. So, can we pass the mic over to the Matajis, the two ladies who want to ask something or say something, comment something.
When the demigods were taking Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu's pregnant wife away, Narada Muni said that she has a great devotee in her womb. But we always hear that his guru is Narada Muni. He hadn't instructed him yet. So how, Because he heard the teachings when Hiranyakashipu's wife was at his ashram.
Yeah.
But before that, before he heard, he already said this.
Well, he was Mahabhagavat to be. For Narad Muni, he's Trikalagya. He sees three phases of time. He was destined for that. That story is given. Jiva Goswami quotes in Bhakti Sandarbha, is it, how Prahlad Maharaj in a previous life, he was apparently a licentious person who had a fallout with his girlfriend, and he went in the forest to enjoy with her in an abandoned temple. And then he got in a tiff with her, and he was so upset he didn't eat all day, and he remained awake all night in that temple. And it happened to be Nrisimha Chaturdashi, and it was a Nrisimha temple. So he got the benefit of staying awake all night and fasting on Nrisimha Chaturdashi, and became Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, there's more to it if you go back another life, but anyway. Narad Muni is Trikalagya. So he was destined to be a pure devotee. It's not that everyone, if they get these instructions, will come to the level of Prahlad Maharaj. Not every child in the womb, although it's definitely very helpful. Women who are carrying children in their wombs, they should definitely hear or chant a lot loudly. Loudly means loud enough so the child can hear. Yeah, please.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. You touched on so many subject matters. I wanted to... Well, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that it takes hundreds of births to perfect the name of Sri Hari. So that could
not
be...
Not in the Hari Bhakti Vilas.
Yeah.
Maybe some other
writing. Okay. Anyway, he says that it takes hundreds of births to perfect the name. Mm. So that could seem a little bit like, oh my God, the goal could be so far away. So when you were speaking about how wonderful it would be to have direct association with Mahaprabhu, you know, like Ramananda Roy and all that. So how can we practically keep, you know, in our japa period, realize that this is non-Prabhu, that we're directly associating with him, just so, you know, this process, you know, how can we keep that as like a single pointed focus that our in the mantra we're directly associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Well, this is one form of a very common query about how we can improve our chanting, how we can chant attentively. And this is like practically daily this question comes up. And I pretty much always answer this somewhat indirectly, but in a manner which is very, it's practical and helpful advice. That every day read a little bit from Srinamamrita, the compilation of Prabhupada's quotes on chanting. It's very helpful. Just read a little bit every day. And it helps us to keep in focus. That what are we doing here? What great gift we have of chanting the holy name. That's a great help. I mean, that's... We have a lot of work to do also in focusing on the holy name. Praying, actually chanting in a prayerful mood, but this will be very helpful. There's some practical advice. And you have to go, is it? All right, thank you very much. And we all have to go. Where are we going to? We chant the holy names and we go to Krishna. If we don't, we won't go to Krishna. We'll go... Oh yeah, I have to announce. One announcement, please. I've written some books which are available here outside. So if anyone would like to take them, you're most welcome. They're available in English, Russian, Croatian, Hindi, Gujarati, Telugu, Tamil,
and maybe one or two other languages, I can't remember. Hare Krishna. What's your... Aapki matri bhasha kya hai? Konsa? Hindi. Hindi jante hai, bhai kya na? Oh, aapki matri bhasha nahi hai, lagta. Hare Krishna.
I want to translate your beginner's guide to